Welcome back to IndyCan Music. Thanks for being with us. We know you're busy people. We know you have lots of places you can be, and we are honored that you're spending an hour with us. We're still on a Canadian Music Week kick. We're going to be checking in with some old friends, some new friends, some learned panelists from the conference. But first, live at IndyCan, Toronto's Reno.
Hi, this is Reno.
And this is Kevin.
And you're listening to IndyCan. Welcome to IndyCan. Thanks.
Been a lot of talk about this new record, and you seem pretty excited about it.
We are. This is a record that's been a long time in the making. We've had a few revisions before it finally came to finally being done the way it is right now. A couple of different producers until we finally got it to fruition from what we initially had envisioned it to be. So, but we're very happy with how it came out, and I think it speaks for many emotions with anyone in the band.
Now, back to producer Steve Thompson. Ended up producing it. He's done Whitney Houston, Madonna, Guns N' Roses. So how'd you find him, and what was it about your band that was compelling to him that he said, hey, I want to get involved in this project?
We had initially met Steve through our publicist, Dulce Barbosa, who brought the band to the attention of Steve Thompson, and he became interested in the sound. Oddly enough, a lot of us were influenced a lot by a lot of the bands that he had done. So I think naturally the fit was there due to the fact that we were raised on a lot of the same music. Initially, at first, it was a little intimidating because you get someone with such big stature and so many credentials to his name. So it tries to weed out, you know, whatever fears you have about working with someone get quickly weeded out. But I mean, it was great in the sense that he also made himself available to us as a friend. I think that added a lot in the comfort, you know, to be able to work with someone, and definitely brought out everyone's best, you know, in some unorthodox ways, you know, at times. But definitely it was something that was mostly integral to the final overall sound that we have now. Fantastic. I would not exchange that experience for anything at all.
Well, give me one concrete example. Like, give me a song that you brought to him that he made different, and how he made it different.
For example, one of the biggest things that Steve's a big fan of doing is layering pads, which normally you'd have with whether it be keyboards and stuff, but he was this big fan of doing it with guitars, big, huge guitar layers, where we were recording it, and I just thought he was out of his mind. And I'm hearing this big, like, and I was like, well, what is this going to be good for? And when it suddenly came up, and he kept saying color sound, and boom, here you are with this big sound, and all of a sudden it all made sense suddenly, right? It was that and a mixture of him reassessing a lot of the songs that we had before we brought to the table. I don't know that he so much actually, you know, suggested something on his own as much as he put us at our, in a kind of our own little boxing corner and made us rethink how else would we have sung this if we weren't to have done it that way. So he used our own talents and our own strengths within ourselves to kind of reassess the songs. And when we did that, I think we came out with a lot better products because out of, I guess, listening to everyone's opinions, and I think him reaffirming out of what was coming along well or not. Right.
Now, we're doing a little acoustic set here at IndyCan, but you're a six-piece band, right?
I was playing a lot solo in the area, and I created a bit of a name doing it that way, thus keeping the name as what it was. When it came time, all I did was really grab a lot of my friends. And at the same time, it was a good lineup at first. I still think that there was a lot of tweaking to go, because it's not the easiest thing in the world to sit there and expect five people to commit to the same thing, have the same goals and all that kind of stuff. It's a very difficult thing. It's like having essentially five wives, you know, and it took some time. It did change. We added a keyboard player because we found ourselves having so much of that in the recordings and then going to play live and lacking that element. So we ended up bringing that keyboard player in, which is actually Daniel's brother, Paulo, and made it a part of a permanent member because it just made so much more sense rather than have to bring someone out only for big shows, because I'm a big fan of being able to reproduce what we do in the studio as we do live. So we've always been strong within our own community culturally as well. A lot of us are Portuguese, so we've used our Portuguese community to our advantage in the most part. And I think every band should do that. I think it's something that is always there at your disposal to, add something to the community and to try and strengthen the community, and at the same time, have it do something for you as well. Because I think there's something to be said when you have that pride thing working in your favor. We did go to Portugal. That has always been an open window that we've always had. We've already gone to play a few festivals there. We just came back from doing a 21-day tour where we did 8,000 kilometers there. An extremely good test to find out if you can live with each other. You're living literally inside of a van. It's trying, and you get put to the test, and you get a lot of things get tested. But, you know, very important. I'd say that it's also one of the things that every band should look forward to doing, to finding out how well built you are for the road, right? And as far as the Eastern States, we did that once again through the Portuguese community. It's something that there's so much of a demand for people to rise up and to represent their nationality. You've had like Nelly Furtado do so well. Sean Desmond do so well here locally as well. And there's so much room for everyone, you know, to be able to represent their nationality as well as keeping the full English market in mind as well.
Hey, this next one here is called You.
Internet has been something that I definitely believe we've capitalized on. It's a great medium to reach people. At the same time, you have a big responsibility to put in the time and the effort to connect with people. We've had a lot of people who believe in us, and we've had some fans that really helped us out a lot. I think we're as good as our fans are going to push us up to be, because they are a driving force in being able to help us reach that many people. And we've been doing some incredible numbers right now. Better than I think we ever had set any plans in motion for. Just last month, we got 1,500 hits to the site, which over 1,500,000. You know, it's 1,500,000 hits to the site, which is it's huge. We're talking about some big increments that we were averaging anywhere between 30 to 40 beforehand, and just increasing that much, I think, is a tribute to a lot of campaigns on MySpace, Facebook, Pure Volume, a lot of things. That there's so many mediums there, and I think you're limiting yourself unless you exploit it as much as possible. It's there for the artists to use, it's there for bands to use, and I think to not use it and to not capitalize on that, I think you're selling yourself short. It's just the way the industry does business now. It's the way they rely on bands to show their self sufficiency if they're able to prove themselves with figures that should translate into sales after the fact.
Should, but that is based on the relationships you build, not the numbers you accumulate, right?
Absolutely. There's a lot of, you know, things that numbers are just that. You know, we try to concern ourselves with just making good music and touch people's lives in any way we can with our music. And if it does something for them, then we're all that much better for it. You know, we're that's always been our prime objective, because that's why these songs have been built pretty much that way. It's emotions we have on the CD, and every song translates into that. And a lot of people have gone through some of the same things we have, and you find them identifying with that. And yet certain songs get comments on the pages, and they just identify so much with them.
Well, I guess there is a theme to the album. It's called Learning to Speak Human. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
What's that mean?
Well, like I said, we've got so many different emotions on this. The world's a confusing time now. I think it's changed a lot from when we were kids. You know, that innocence of just closing a book in school and the problems go away as soon as you close those covers. Things have changed nowadays. You've got so much to look at on TV and get scared or get reaffirmed by what some of your beliefs are, right? We've got sadness, we've got joy, we've got fear, we've got anger, everything on this record. That's the whole title, Learning to Speak Human. I think it's not necessarily a Bible as to how you should live your life. I don't think anyone should ever perceive our music or the intention of the name to be that, as much as it is how we see things at this particular time. It represents a time and place for us in music, where we're at, and it represents our emotions. And I think everything that entails being a human, with so many different things you go through emotionally, I think it's a good textbook out of where we were in life at that particular time.
People who got a chance to listen to the bare bones of these songs, where do they go online to get the full bang?
Well, as it stands right now, we do have the album being printed, I believe, April 5th is how things are looking. First for Australia. We do have a deal down in Australia right now that's going to be looking at April 5th. We've just picked up all of Asia within the last little while, I'd say about 2-3 weeks ago. And SSG Records, that's basically encompassing all of Korea, Japan, China, India, Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, the entire scope of all that. That changes as well. They have a different date on their release. And we have O Plus Evolution EMI in France, which are going to be releasing at a separate date as well. Here in Canada, it's still in negotiations. Our managers are working on things, and they right now know more than I can sit there and say I publicly do. Our managers are great, great people who we've really leaned on for a lot of guidance to this, and we're very comfortable with them. They do know a lot of things that necessarily I can't say yet. I don't know. I do know as far as Canada goes, they are in discussions. They are in discussions heavily with what's going on here. And there are quite a few festivals we are doing in the summer, which hopefully we have a lot more dates we can announce, where hopefully those CDs are on sale for that. As it stands right now, I do believe we are going to be doing some kind of a digital download thing on our own website within the next month.
Okay, great.
So hopefully that's what we're looking at.
Well, go get them.
That's right. Thanks.
Turn those numbers into something.
Absolutely.
Get rid of those day jobs.
That's it. We're going to try and make everyone proud.
Well, thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you so much,
thanks.
Joe.
Thank you.
There it is, once again, butterflies. The feeling just comes around. Every time she smiles, why do I lose my words just to see? My shadow makes fun of me, a hopeless comedy. Lately I've been sworn, walking right up to you, to show you that I'm torn. I'm wondering just what you might do. She doesn't know what I know for sure. She doesn't know how I'm falling for. She doesn't know just how hard I pray. She doesn't know all the plans I made. All the times that I had time to be alone in the world with you. No one else but me. All my friends wonder why I would die to have you right here with me. It's just their foolish pride. I'm closer than ever to walking right up to you to show you that I'm torn. I'm wondering just what you might do. She doesn't know what I know for sure. She doesn't know how I've fallen for. She doesn't know just what I prayed. She doesn't know all the plans I made. I'm tired of always waiting on me, putting up all the chances that I see. You with me. She doesn't know what I know for sure. She doesn't know how I'm falling for her. She doesn't know just how hard I prayed. She doesn't know all the plans I made.
Summer and it's getting colder.
Your face, it surprises.
I'm trying to keep it steady, but I'm not quite ready.
Your body can lay here beside me.
And you're getting so much colder. I'll wait a little longer.
It's lovely, I know, and it's yours.
So just move on, they tell me, we'll take it to Barry.
But don't you know, she told me she loved me.
Maybe you feel like dancing, can I do all the leading?
I'll do all your makeup, 'cause your arms aren't working anymore.
I'll take you to the city, my dear, you look so pretty.
I wish I could touch you like the old days.
It's a long way till December, and I just can't remember
your name, but it still rings inside.
Hey, it's still yours and mine. The summer and it's getting colder.
Your face, it surprises.
Been trying to keep it steady, but I'm just not quite ready.
Your body can lay here beside mine.
And you're getting so much colder, I'll wait a little longer.
It's and it's easier. one they tell me will take it to bury. But don't you know, she told me she
is still yours and mine.
Carrie, and we're the Good Lovelies, and you're listening to IndieCan Radio.
Good lovelies, welcome to Canadian Music Week.
You betcha.
Thank you.
You're a pretty entertaining bunch.
Thanks. Really?
My mom told me that once.
Well, it was probably true. I love the great story about the one and only family trip to see a dead guy.
We're a very functional family.
You don't get good songs from functional families.
You don't. It's all like rainbows and butterflies, right, Sue?
No, rainbows and ponies. Ponies.
Sue's from a very functional family, but that girl can really write a song. I know, she's the person who breaks that net.
Breaks the mold.
Yes.
Makes the song work.
Yes.
So let's talk about your CD a little bit.
Sure.
Okay, how long's it been out?
Since July. Yeah.
Since June, July.
Yeah.
Okay, and what's it called?
It's called Oh My!
Exclamation,
exclamation point.
Oh wow! Exclamation point. Now, what I want you to do is let's have a little powwow here. Pick a song.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Tell us the backstory to it, and we're going to play it.
Go for it.
What? It's called Taboo. It's about taboo love. Maybe people in the workplace who've found they're married and they like each other and they should not. That's that sort of thing. It's totally inappropriate.
Maybe
relationships.
It's about that.
I suppose.
It's actually a
theme that
runs through. So what's the one line listeners should be listening for that tells the whole story?
Taboo.
Okay, great. Okay, well, enjoy the rest of Canadian Music Week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And great meeting you. We'll see you at the top.
Aww. Maybe somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the top's fine. The top's good.
Thank you.
If you want me, you are high.
You make it hard not to fall. Buckle my knees, elbows and all. Broke into puzzles made up of socks and pants. No, I don't think I ever stood a chance up against you. You make it hard not to fall. Farther than an apple to the orchard floor. I am the one that landed well off of the tree. You are the fruit turned out to be too tough for me. Bite into, but I want to let go. I don't know if you're so bold, but I am scared. But I am piping hot for your love. If you want me, you are hired. Taboo, taboo, taboo. Taboo, taboo, taboo. You make it hard not to shout, but the mister and the missus, they might figure us out. Little to measure against what I felt. Imagination's something I could do without. Oh, but I want to let go. I don't know if you're so bold, but I am scared. But I am piping hot for your love. If you want me, you are hired. Taboo, taboo, taboo. Taboo, taboo, taboo. You make it hard not to fall. Farther than an apple to the orchard floor. I am the one that landed well off of the tree. You are the fruit so ripe and so forbidden to me. But I want to let go. I don't know. You're so bold, but I am scared. But I am piping hot for your love. If you want me, you are hired. Taboo, taboo. If you want me, you are hired. Taboo, taboo, taboo. Taboo, taboo, taboo. Taboo, taboo, taboo.
That's the Good Lovelies. Some new friends of IndyCan, and they're in the studio again. We're going to be hearing some more from them soon. Good group of people met at the Savannah Room. It was a magic night. There was Kiri Christmanson, Down with the Butterfly, The Ease Down, The Good Lovelies. I mean, it was a great night, and I wish more people could have been there. But anyway, we enjoyed it. Before that, let's see. How's my short-term memory? Hugh, this is a band that was on with Pascal Picard and others at the Drake, I guess, a few weeks ago, and I picked up their CD. Hope you liked it. And Dave Martell, Evolution of a Song. Here's a song that when it was just in the construction stages, he was live at IndyCan back in episode 38, I think it was. We were at DNA Studios in Montreal. And here it is. His new CD is out. It's brand new. I just got it in the mail today. So here you have it. Coming up very soon is a segment of a panel that I caught at Canadian Music Week. It was Terry McBride of Network Music. Jake Gold was there. Susan Bronovich, who is an entertainment and media lawyer. And they were talking about 360 deals, the new paradigm, how bands are going to be associated with brands. Some of it almost rubbed me the wrong way, and I really had to listen to it again. But anyway, I'm going to share that with you, and I'll be interested on what your thoughts are on that particular topic. But first, let's go to our happy place. We're going to an interview with our friends, The Clicks. We caught up with Morgan Doctor and Lucas of The Clicks. They're going to be on tour with The Cult, and I got a chance to talk to them a little bit about that just before they went on to perform at the Indie Awards, which was a big sellout at the Royal York Hotel in the Canadian Room, hosted by XM. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, let's go to the interview. So did you ever have any Cult posters on your wall when you were growing up?
You know what? I did, actually.
No kidding.
I did, man. I love them. They're such a great band. Been a fan since I was, like, ever since, you know, Love came out, so.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So it really is this is pretty big for you, eh?
It's kind of a dream come true, you know? It's, you know, when Jake told us about us opening up for them, I thought, you know, you gotta be kidding me, man. Especially because we had just gotten off the road with Cyndi Lauper, and I was like,
yeah.
I'm like, another one? I'm like, this is great. I'm like, somebody's doing their job. So yeah, it was fun, man. It's been great. We did already some dates with them in the States.
Yep.
And now we're doing Canada. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but isn't that just fun?
It's awesome. And Ian Asbury is such a great guy. So now here's Morgan.
Yeah, Morgan, how are you?
I recognize you.
How you doing, Morgan?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Now, you seem to have a more diverse musical interest. Like, did you have Cult posters on your walls, or were you more Depeche Mode or something?
I was more Depeche Mode. Thompson Twins, but that is a good point. I am from that era, and yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but fun nevertheless?
Fun music? I still love it. I could.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I still am obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We listen to, you know, Soft Cell in the car a little, you know. Yeah, you know. It's fun. Yeah.
Having fun. Here's a question for Lucas. You must be chomping at the bit to get some new songs done.
Pretty much.
And, like, is that something that you have complete control over, or you consult with management about what should the timing be on that sort of thing? Or?
We don't really have to consult with them. I mean, right now we're sort of on a timetable to record another album, so that's, you know, something we have to consider. But at the same time, we just released this one last April.
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't even been a year. And it's just so weird because it just seems like things move so fast now. They're already like, so when's your next album coming out? I'm like, guys, it hasn't even been a year.
Yeah.
You know, and the hard part with what's going on is we're so busy
Led
touring.
Led Zeppelin 1, 2, 3, 4 came out in like 2 years, right?
Yeah.
But they only had 8 songs on them. They were like EPs.
Exactly. But with us, it's just like the most difficult part is that we're on the road all the time.
Yeah.
And writing on the road is just about impossible.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Why you went and got yourself one of these.
Yeah,
right?
Actually, we do. And I was looking at it, and I was like,
hey. This is the H4 commercial part of the show.
You're going to have to teach me how to use it. I have no idea how to use that thing. I'm like, give me
that's
a tape
so
recorder, or I'll be fine.
Yeah, don't you remember those great 4-track recorders?
Just
I
do.
My Tascam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a Tascam, too.
Yeah, it's just wonderful.
Yeah.
Give me your dream tour. who would you want to be on a stage with three other performers?
Three other performers. Ah, that's intense. I know this is going to sound really kind of like old school, but I would love to tour with Kiss. because I love them so much.
You go see Ace Frehley?
No, I wasn't around because we're always on tour.
Yeah.
And who else? Wow. Jane's Addiction.
Oh, wow.
One of my favorite bands. And I'd have to definitely say The Pretenders.
Oh!
I think that would be such, you know, such a thrill.
I bet we could make some of that happen.
I would love to make that happen.
Oh, let's do it. I mean, they're indie again.
I know.
That's
amazing.
Cool. Have a great show tonight.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
You bet.
My sun, you were my earth, but you didn't know all the ways that I love you, no, so you took a chance, made other plans, but I bet you didn't know your world would come crumbling down, no, you don't have to say what you did, I already know. I found out from him. Now there's just no chance for you and me. We'll never be. And don't make you sad about it. You told me you love me. Why did you leave me all alone? You told me you love me when you call me on the phone. Girl, I refuse. You must have me confused with some other guy. Bridges are burned, and now it's your turn to cry. Cry me a river, cry me a river, cry me a river, cry me a river. I know that they say some things I bet left unsaid. It wasn't like you. Only talk to him and you know it. Don't act like you don't know it. All of these things people tell me keep messing with my head. You should have picked honesty and you may not have blown it. You don't have to say what you did. I already know. I found out from him. Now there's just no chance for you and me. We'll never be. And don't make it sad about it. You told me you love me. Why did you leave me all alone? You told me you love me when you call me on the phone. No, girl, I refuse. You must have me confused with some other guy. Your bridges are burned and now it's your turn to cry. Cry me a river. Damage is done, so I guess I'll be leaving. The damage is done, so I guess I'll be leaving. The damage is done, so I guess I'll be leaving. The damage is done, so I guess I'll be leaving. You don't have to say what you did. I already know. Found out from him. Now there's just no chance for you and me. We'll never be. And don't make you sad about it. You told me you love me. Why did you leave me all alone? You told me you love me when you call me on the phone. Oh, girl, I refuse. You must have me confused with some other guy. Your bridges are burned and now it's your turn to cry. Cry me a river. Cry me a river. Cry me a river. Cry me a river. Cry me a river.
Baby, go run it down.
Cry, now baby, cry.
Cry,
now baby, cry.
That has a lot to do with what I call monetizing free. It's kind of like how, like you know, Gillette started by just giving away razor blades. Well, how are you supposed to use those? You needed the instrument to use it. It's basically a lost leader. It's how you take something free and turn it into something.
That's what I'm saying. And so the benefit to having all the rights in one place is that I don't have to tell my husband. The answer to your proposal is give it up, because most of those rights are going to be segregated. Mm-hmm. So I do agree that.
So you can actually negotiate it more. It streamlines the process. You're not negotiating with six different people. You're negotiating with one.
It takes effort, but if it's a good idea, you can do it. And I guess a lot of what the business is, oh, that's a great idea, can't do it. And I would go, bullshit. It's a great idea, you can do it. Just work your way backwards.
It doesn't matter whether this is a 360 structure or not. If the business proposition is attractive enough, there's a way to make it work.
Well, I want to go back to this whole 360 thing. I mean, there's a lot of value to like major labels. But over the last 5 to 8 years, as they've been kicked, they've shed a lot of their staff. They've shed a lot of their services.
So their value isn't the same as what it was.
Well, I mean, my whole thing here, though, is that it's they're not necessarily as good record labels as what they used to be, because they don't have the staff and the resources to basically do it. They tend to outsource. So now they're wanting things from you that they intend still have to outsource. So, I mean, if I'm going to do brand alignment, because I'm in the sort of brand business, I manage brands. I help create and monetize brands. Why wouldn't I want to associate with another brand? Maybe something as tacky as Doritos or something, and associate with them, be their music for their ads, give them an equity, you know, an equity stake, and get more media attention, versus going into a 360 model with a record label who's now spending a lot less, has a lot less staff, and has a hard time just selling the intellectual property, you know, part of the puzzle. How are they gonna be really, really, really good at merchandising? How are they gonna be, you know, good at all these different revenue streams that they've brought in skeleton crews that is not flushed out. And I kind of look at that and go, I understand your reasons for it. But if you want a really big chunk, which is what they're asking for, you really need to add value. And in a lot of cases, they're not adding value. In a lot of cases, they'll take the merchandise and they'll license it off to someone else. So now you're getting a percentage of a license. And I'm going, okay, that's not right. I have no issue with the concept, but please, you need to build the infrastructure to service this.
On a big level, can somebody build that kind of company? I mean, Sanctuary sort of tried it in the UK, and we know how that worked out. I mean, they tried to sort of buy the elements and put that together, and it didn't work out. Can a company build to that sort of scale that they need? You think it can be done?
Yeah, but you have to build to scale.
So somebody'd have to have a lot of capital. You'd have to really sort of...
Or you start... And you grow as you grow. I mean, Dave Matthews and their organization is doing it in a similar way, but they're obviously separate factors. You've done it in a similar way, but it's you grow as you need to grow. And I think that's the key is, you know, are you into long-term greed or short-term greed? And I think if you're into long-term greed, then you think of it that way. You say, here's my 20-year plan, not my 3-year plan.
Yeah, I'm not going to get, well, Sanctuary tried to do it in a couple of years and they just couldn't get it, got ahead of themselves.
And I think the biggest problem with that deal was because they were a publicly traded company. And the moment they became a publicly traded company, they were now beholden to stockholders. And the moment you're beholden to stockholders, you start to make decisions that are about this quarter.
Yeah,
and
to,
not about
the
five
for the
ten, right? Not about the 5-10-year plan. And I think that most of the really successful companies in our world, at least, you know, the management companies and the independent record companies, have been run by one person, or you know, there's one person. It's their vision, and they're entrepreneurial and they can move fast. You know, Susan talked about what her husband wanted to do. I mean, you hear it all the time from the people who are licensing for film and television who say, I just want to make one call. I got to clear this in a day because the director just saw this track and we're laying it on the television show tomorrow. I got to know that I can make one call to clear the master in the sink and I can get it done. And you hear this all the time from those people. They don't want to have to, oh, who's the publisher? Oh, EMI. Oh, shit, it's not going to work. Oh, I'm not going to even bother.
How prevalent are we going to see this? I mean, there's lots of talk about it now, and there's elements of it. But, I mean, is this, in a year, is this going to be more of a reality than it is now? We've got companies that are doing it, obviously companies on the stage. But are we going to see, you know, we've seen the Live Nation Madonna deal and they're attempting, are we going to see those scale of deals on a regular basis now, do you think?
I think you're going to see it, you're seeing it on a consistent basis from the major labels. You're going to see both AEG and Live Nation doing those sort of deals, but more for the heritage artists. But you're also going to see other brands come into this marketplace. I mean, if you want to know what's going to happen, just look at Korea, where I think right now it's about a 90% digital marketplace and artists are signed to brands. It could be a telco, it could be a, you know, potato chip company, it could be anything. Because those are the companies that have the marketing dollars to get the artist exposed within the mass media. And that's the issue right now, that the labels no longer have the fiscal capability to really do that the way that they used to. So it's not just going to be labels, it's not just going to be the promoters, it's going to be other brands coming into this marketplace and doing brand alignment and taking equity stake within what's happening. And they will be the 360 model.
I mean, do you think that'll happen in North America? Is that your contention?
I think you'll see it happen in the next 18 months, maybe even sooner. I mean, why couldn't Doritos take an album and stick it in like a bag of chips and use that same music?
I can tell you.
And then put it up on iTunes.
You know? I agree. It's not. I haven't seen it happen in music yet in Canada, but I can tell you in the television world and the theater world, I do other kinds of entertainment work as well, and I have a bunch of clients that are consumer product companies that have gotten directly into television production. Not infomercials, not product placement. They are producing, with the help of third-party producers or whatever, television shows that help obviously showcase their brand. They have a completely different economic mindset about it because to them it's like, ooh, this is cheaper than advertising to produce an entire legitimate television show. It's mainly reality TV. So if it's happening in TV, it's happening in theater, it could happen in music.
Hi, I'm Damien from Vestavaro, and you're listening to Indie Can Radio.
Yeah, thanks, Damien. We'll get to you. Actually, we're going to be hearing from Damien's band, Vestavaro. We had a chance to record them live at IndieCan. That's coming to you next week, and we're going to have a song from that. They were winners at Indie Week last year here in Toronto. Now, again, what did you think of that interview? Let us know. We've got a Facebook group. We've got a MySpace group. When I first heard the idea of taking music, my culture, and putting it in a bag of potato chips, I really found the whole idea quite offensive. But if you think about it, I mean, traditionally music is played on radio. To what end? To help sell advertising. So why not just leave the radio out of it and have the band help sell the product? I guess it's the way it's going to be, whether I like it or not, and it's just a matter of getting our heads around it. But I suppose if it's tastefully done, that's not a potato joke. But maybe it's going to be a good thing. Anyway, we'll see about that. And again, if you want to pipe in on the subject, let us know at IndieCan.com. Anyway, here's a little something from Vestavaro. They're Irish folk, and they have spent a lot of time in Canada. They've really started to build a following here. And again, you're going to hear a lot more about them next week. Thanks for joining us. We'll look forward to hearing from you soon.
Honey, I will try to box the distance. Darling, I'm not the man for you. Says hold on, all I ever hear is hold on, but I'm next to you. There is a way to love, there is a way to talking about me.
Listening to the Toronto Indie Scene, an IndieCan music production.
For more information on the artists featured on today's show, visit IndieCan.com.